This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
May the 11th be with you. Welcome into the Monday program. Dustin Sweetelson alongside Kelly Bidlin. No, Gil Alexander does not have a thyroid issue. I'm filling in for the next couple days here on the show. Reunited with my bearded brother, Kelly Bidlin, as we've got a lot to get to over the course of the next 3 hours. We have one ticket punched into the conference finals. We also have another series tied up at twos in a very unexpected way. And we have an awesome guest list for you today. Before we get to all that, I just want to say hello to my bearded brother who, you got to stop losing weight because you're making me look worse and worse by the day. I'm getting fatter. I'm finding everything you're losing, but you look tremendous. It's great to see you bright and early here on a Monday morning.
Great to see you, Dustin. It's been a while. Wait, since last summer? Is that the last time we did a show?
The last time was it the Luka Doncic trade reaction morning? The last time we did a trade together, a show together.
Was it that long?
I do believe.
Wild. Okay. It's good to be back with you.
I remember that show specifically because I admitted to the American public that I have gotten Q-tips stuck in my ears multiple times and had to go to the emergency room during that program. That was the bigger story than the Luka story.
That came up recently on the show, actually.
Oh, really?
Gil was using one day and the cotton part fell off. And he, stabbed himself in the ear. I was like, dude, that's like a lawsuit right there, man.
It's not safe. You're not supposed to do it. Have I stopped doing it? Absolutely not. My ears itch. Stick things in them. We will stop at that point because normally when I'm on later at night, I can get away with some of these things. But I got to toe the line here.
You just be you.
We've got children going to school. Welcome into your Monday. I know you're very excited about it on May 11th. And we've also got some fun stuff lined up for you today. Bottom of this hour, you are about 30 minutes away from the Hall of Famer John Smoltz joining the program. The Atlanta Braves are the best run differential in all of baseball, and we will get his thoughts on how far they can go this year. Are they the only hope in the National League to possibly take down the mighty Los Angeles Dodgers? Also, we'll talk about the passing of his former manager, Bobby Cox, coming up here in about 30 minutes. End of this hour at 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time, David Amber, TSN up in Canada. Montreal has the hopes of all Canadians to win the cup, but has the country rallied behind that team? We'll ask David later on in the show. Wes Reynolds, VSiN betting analyst, his thoughts on the PGA championship coming up this week. Plus, we've got plenty to talk about as far as the NBA postseason is concerned. Major League Baseball will hit it a few times as Greg Hoops Peterson will join us in our final hour of the show. And then bottom of the last hour, look, you're going to put me and Kelly together. There are some blind spots. Hockey would be the blind spot. We will check in with Jody Shelley, TNT NHL analyst, because I got to tell you, I'm way into the hockey. I'm not an expert on the hockey, but last night, Anaheim and VGK, another exciting game. Mm-hmm. We've got the Montreal situation with Buffalo. We've got Carolina just twiddling their thumbs, waiting to find out who their opponent's going to be. 8-0 in the Stanley Cup postseason. But the story of the day is go New York, go New York, go. The New York Knicks are all the way freaking back. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals, back-to-back years. And yesterday, it was an absolute beatdown of the Philadelphia 76ers. 144-114. I'm carrying the two, dropping the one. I do believe they did cover the -1.5 based on my math.
Yeah, they're good.
Can you double-check? Okay, we're
good. You're good there, yep.
We go over the total of 213.
Yeah, that one's good, too. Yeah.
The Knicks have won six in a row. That is tied for the longest playoff win streak in franchise history. They have covered three games in the playoffs by 27 or more points. That is the most games in a single year since the merger. Kelly Bidlin, the New York Knicks appear to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I have gone back and forth on them all season long. You are someone who is like me. You bought in early. Are you still believing in the New York Knicks?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. This is a team that, yeah, we were talking a little bit before the show. I know you and I have both backed this team over the years to our great demise at times with them and bets that we've had. I felt bad. They were a team that I kind of said, yeah, Knicks out of the East all season long until I was that guy a couple weeks before the playoffs. I'm like, all right, let me switch to Boston. Look, they're looking awesome, and this is maybe as good as this core has ever looked together. I think it is a very good thing that they got this series done with yesterday. The earliest that we could see them again is next Sunday. give OG Anunoby and that hamstring all the time he needs to rest up. I think that is very important for whoever they face, not only Eastern Conference Finals, but then if they get ahead to the finals too. And this, look, this Knicks team, what can you poke at right now? You got Karl Anthony Towns that's doing things distributing the ball we've never really seen from him before. Seven-game stretch of over 54% from the field. They are playing lights out offensively and defensively. Best net rating in the playoffs so far. This Knicks team has been really, really impressive, Dustin.
All right, on the cap point, everything has changed for this team because I think most people who watch me on Cashing Out, you're pretty aware that I love this Knicks team. I bet them 15-1 to win the title. Not because I believe this version of the Knicks was going to win the title. My assumption was Giannis was coming at some point during the year. It never came to fruition. And then I got frustrated with this team because they were just going through the motions during the regular season. And maybe it's a case where, you know, this is a franchise that isn't judged by what they do in the regular season. So why would they treat it like it's the postseason? And they're able to flip that switch now that we're into the playoffs, now that these games are amped up and matter more. And then the big difference has been the adjustment. They are running the offense through Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get it twisted. That has been such a difference maker for this team. He's going to his third straight conference finals. And in the semis, he averaged 15.5 points, 8 rebounds, 7.5 assists. He shot 62% from the field, 54.5% from three. He played 23.4 minutes per game. That is how dominant he was, as the Knicks have been dominant. 19.4 is their margin of victory so far through two playoff rounds. That's the most since 1984 for any team. They won their two closeout games 51 and 30 points here. On the road, they've been incredible. And I got to give a lot of flowers to Mikal Bridges, because this is a guy that's been very frustrating for a lot of people who want to back the Knicks, not just because they gave up all the picks to get him. Okay, it's not just about the price you pay. At some point, you just need to be the player that we hoped you would be, the player that we saw in Phoenix and in Brooklyn. And he really hasn't been there other than the playoffs. He's been a totally different player the last two postseasons for the Knicks than he was in the regular season. And I thought his defense on Tyrese Maxey, his length, his aggressiveness on offense, especially in the absence of OG Anunoby, that is what's taken this team to the next level. You know what Brunson is. You know the effort you're going to get on the glass from Hart. But to me, you've got Mikal Bridges contributing offensively and, more importantly, defensively. That's the X factor, combined with the fact that they're running the offense through Cat.
Yeah. I think it's I think for many years for me, I always felt like the Karl Anthony Towns defender, because he would always be the go-to, the guy everybody would crush, right? Of what's going wrong with the Knicks. It's always felt like it was Karl Anthony Towns. Man, OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges just getting something from those guys. And then when you actually get a playoffs like this from OG Anunoby, where you're kind of seeing the high-end potential of what he can give, it takes this team to another level that we hadn't really seen before.
OG Anunoby is the Knicks' best overall player. Like, that's what people don't really grasp watching this team. He's also very consistent. He also can create when they need him to, when there's 8 seconds on the shot clock and Jalen Brunson's been dribbling the entire possession.
Right.
OG Anunoby can get the ball and make something happen and make it all work for them. Now, on the other side, there is a bigger conversation to be had about the Philadelphia 76ers, because the Joel Embiid era, is it over? Is he back next year? Because this is a guy who has a massive cap hit over the next few seasons, and thus far really hasn't paid dividends. You know, he's the only NBA MVP to never make a conference final. The only NBA MVP to never make a conference final. Now they're out in the second round. They missed the playoffs the year prior, and it's just first or second round absences going back to 2018. And remember, this is a guy who also didn't play his first couple years in the league. And more importantly for Philadelphia, what's up with their fans? Because if you watched the game yesterday, it felt like a game at Madison Square Garden. No, it was in the city of brotherly love. Josh Hart talked about the MSG takeover after the game.
How many fans were here today?
Nah, man, because everybody was begging for Philly to not sell their tickets and all that stuff. So, man, I used to think Philly was a sports town. I don't know if it is anymore.
It's a great shot. I think Philadelphia gets a little overblown at times because they throw batteries at people, and people think that means they're tough.
Yeah.
Most of their heroes, if we look around sports, are giant losers. Like, I think about Rocky. Rocky technically is a loser, Okay, he's a nobody nothing who happens to back his way into a situation where Apollo Creed lifts his entire career and life up and he becomes a rich person. But Rocky Balboa, at his core, is a giant loser. Wow. And Philadelphia,
they like to praise,
it's one of my favorite movies, but be fair, he's a loser. They praise a lot of these things. They talk about how tough they are. You can't let another team take over your building in the playoffs. Now, a lot of this is just economics, Kelly, mm-hmm. because it's cheaper for a New York Knicks fan to buy tickets mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, take the train day in, day out, get in, get out, than it is to buy a ticket at Madison Square Garden. But I think it's a gross look for a town that really props itself up as one of the best sports towns in America.
Yeah, it stinks. It's not a good look. It's also just something that happens now. Like, I don't know what else is. This is a story every year, right? Whether we're talking Boston, whether we're talking Philly, it is, yes, the New Yorkers getting out of there and going to get a little bit cheaper tickets. It's just sad now, Dustin, watching every year a team try to do something ahead of time. Hey, we're going to limit who we're selling to. We're going to have the star players really encourage fans to come out. And sometimes you just don't have a shot.
Knicks is what it is. Knicks minus 165 to win the East. They are 6-1 to win it all. Is there still value in that? Or are we all just wasting our time as OKC continues to be minus 175 to be your champion this year?
Yeah, look, I'd hate to say it. I can't bet the Knicks or any of these Eastern Conference teams to in the finals. You wanna lay 165 on the Knicks to win the East? I don't really have a problem with that. I very much think they will. They should be the favorites and will win whichever series against whichever opponent does come out against the Pistons or Cavaliers.
Yeah, well, Detroit's plus 210, Cleveland 7.5-1. We will talk about their matchup in Cleveland later on tonight throughout the program. Kelly has bets in that game. I have bets in that game. Also, we'll hit baseball. Bottom of this hour, Hall of Famer John Smoltz will be with us. But when we return, Victor Wembanyama, did he know the magnitude of what he was doing last night when he got ejected from the game, and now Minnesota's even the series up 2-2. Should he be suspended? We'll weigh in on the other side of a numbers game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game. I am not Gil Alexander. I am Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you today, tomorrow, Friday. That's Kelly Bidlin. He's always here. He never leaves. He has a residency at Circa. They promote it when you first park and pull into the property.
Yeah, wow, that's weird. I've never seen that one before.
Low-key, if Derek Stevens did offer us a residency, like basic rent, I think a lot of us would opt to live here.
Oh, totally. We'd at least, like, a few of us would split something. You know, for the nights where you just need to crash here.
Yeah, we just keep it available in case you just have a situation where you just want to stay here and not leave.
Change of clothes in there, ready to go.
Have a few cocktails, have a good time. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot to get to here over the course of the next hour, 15 minutes. Plenty of Major League Baseball coming your way, but we've got to hit it all with our next guest, one of the sharpest guys around. He is Wes Reynolds, VSiN betting analyst. You can read his articles every week breaking down the golf over at VSiN.com, but he bets everything. And he is an Indiana native. That would make him a Hoosier. And, you know, Kelly, I'm looking at the NBA draft lottery because, you know, the Indiana Pacers, they went 19-63 this year. That is, by my math, the second worst record in the entire NBA. And I'm looking at the lottery results. I see Wizards number one pick, the Jazz number two, Memphis three, the Bulls four, the Clippers are five. Wait, the Clippers?
Yeah.
Why are the Clippers? Oh, the Ivaka Zubac trade and the Indiana Pacers not picking in the top five. Wes, look, things have been coming up roses for your teams lately. The Indiana Hoosiers won a college football national title. How do you feel about your Pacers as a former employee of the team losing that pick with the risk they took and not picking in the top five in a draft that has five star players?
Yeah, Dustin, we're back to the normal lottery luck for the Pacers. They haven't moved up or gotten the ping pong balls in their favor since 1989. So it's kind of like, okay, this is where you're going to pick. You're never going to move up. Like, you see all these teams, they've moved up into the top four or the top three or whatever. It never happens for the Pacers. But look, Kevin Pritchard rolled the dice here, and he even came out on Twitter and said that's what he did. It's like, we needed a center that obviously where we could get back into the Eastern Conference and compete. Keep in mind, this team was in game seven of the NBA Finals just last season. And got Ivica Zubac from the Clippers, but Clippers drove a hard bargain. So that was smart on their part. They not only get Ben Mathurin, who is a good young piece for the Pacers, but also that five pick. So none of those guys, and I think why the Pacers did that, none of those guys, those guards that are going to go like 5-10 or 5-12, were going to help the Pacers when you have Tyrese Halliburton. So none of those guards were going to necessarily help them. So they went all in to try to do this, and didn't work for them. Like, you know, I was seeing on the social yesterday, hey, tanking works. Not for the Pacers, necessarily. So, you know, at least you have your core back, you know, in an Eastern Conference where nobody seems to be like the 800-pound gorilla. Like, mm-hmm. it seems like it's still, regardless of what happens in the rest of the playoffs, it still seems pretty open in the East. So I think the Pacers still have a good core, but that was certainly very disappointing and probably the worst result the Pacers could have gotten.
Yeah, feeling for Pacers fans yesterday watching that, Wes, including you. It was, I mean, you've been watching the whole NBA playoffs, watching the struggles out East and thinking, man, Indiana executed this perfectly this year. They knew it was going to be a gap year for them. Let's rebuild this roster and get better and get ready for when Halliburton returns. And you're one of arguably the best teams in the East. You take a bit of a hit here, but hindsight's 20/20. I think they're still going to be there next season. Let's head over to golf. We don't have to discuss this last week. Not the best one for the long shots crew, even though Wes and Matt had some runners. PGA Championship, heading over there. Scottie Scheffler +340. Rory McIlroy +860. Everybody else 13-1 or longer. Obviously, you, Matt, and I will be doing a lot on long shots this week. Early thoughts, though, on some of the big names at the top. Have you made any bets already?
Yeah, man, we were texting yesterday, Kelly. It was an awesome day for me, losing the lottery and then getting two runners up with Ricky Fowler, Nikolai Højgaard. Congratulations, though, to the Norwegian, Christopher Reitan, who really had a great DP World Tour season and now has kind of arrived on the scene to win a big-time signature event in a big-time field. What I'm going to do, I've obviously Cameron Young is somebody that's been the hottest player. I think he ended up in the top 10, did kind of fall off a little bit in the final round yesterday, but I still think that this guy is one of the guys to beat. Scottie Scheffler, the rightful favorite. He was already on the grounds, did not play in Charlotte this past weekend for the Truist. So he was already on grounds to practice up at Aronimink, which has not hosted the PGA Championship in many years. They have had the BMW in the FedEx Cup playoffs. But, you know, those favorites, I think, are rightful favorites for a reason. We've seen a little drift on Xander Schauffele just because he didn't play very well. He did not show at the Truist at all last week, and both he and Matt Fitzpatrick. So you're starting to see some of these prices change a little bit on the shorter guys. But I think when you look at the PGA in terms of trends, you know, and make them your acquaintances and not necessarily your friends, but you've seen a lot of younger players, like those guys in the, you know, 26-32, like you haven't seen a lot of older guys win this necessarily. And you've seen guys that have won other events on the PGA Tour, you know, imagine that, keep betting guys that win all the time. But, you know, those have been kind of the trends here, I think recently. But, you know, we don't know a lot about the course, so wide open field. So, you know, maybe some bombs we know are going to contend. Mm-hmm. We know that that's going to happen. And this is a longish course, over 7,400 yards. So we know some guys down the board are going to contend, but it's been a lot of class players lately. So you're probably going to want to have a couple of those chalky guys, at least on your portfolio or in your DFS, however you play this thing.
Wes Reynolds is our guest, VSiN betting analyst. His article breaking down golf every week over at VSiN.com. So we all anticipate that because Wes does the best job breaking down the course, the history, who's hot, who's not, who does well at this course consistently. So check it all out at VSiN.com. While we got your ear here, Wes, I want to get your thoughts on the NBA tonight. Detroit and Cleveland laying 3.5 at home are the Cavs. Totals 213.5. If you were forced to do something in this game, what would you look at with Detroit leading 2-1?
Yeah, I haven't decided what I'm doing yet tonight, Dustin, but I do lean Cleveland here. I still think that this is going 7.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, you look at Cleveland and it was like, man, you know, Evan Mobley has got to be better. And he was, I think, in game number 3, as was Jared Allen, because the big guys, I just think, were kind of keeping him down a little bit. And then figuring out that rotation, like, you can't rest Donovan Mitchell if you're Kenny Atkinson. You can't have him on that rest period for that long, because we saw it in the third quarter on Saturday. Detroit got right back in the game. Like, Detroit was kind of on the precipice of, like, okay, like what happened with the Sixers yesterday. If they get down so much, it's like eventually they're going to wave the white flag and be like, we're 2-1. We just got to get a split here and then close it out at home. You can't rest Donovan Mitchell. So all the Donovan Mitchell props are obviously going to be taxed to the moon, but I think Cleveland wins again tonight. It's up to 3.5, but I still think that the Cavs go ahead and send this back for game number 5. And I do think this is going game 7. So everything's coming up Knicks right now. So not only they close out the Sixers, but they're going to get a very long respite in between series.
Yeah, happy Knicks fan next to me right now. That's for sure. Let's jump ahead to tomorrow, Wes. I know you do have a couple bets in already. One in the NBA, one in the NHL. Talk us through those.
Yeah, Minnesota-San Antonio, game number 5 tomorrow night. The only game, by the way, since the Knicks pulled the sweep. I like the under here, and I'm seeing 219 at circa. This is that 2-2 game number 5 in terms of this series. Now, it's probably in a little bit of a holding pattern, because is Victor Wembanyama going to be suspended for the flagrant elbow on Naz Reid last night? You know, and I think it would only be a one gamer, because Wemby's not exactly a repeat offender. So that's the max I think it would be. You know, this isn't going to be like when Ron Artest clocked James Harden. He got like 7 games a few years ago. But I still think this is going to be a defense, because the defenses are really good with these two teams, even though you've seen a couple high scores. I think the under here in game number 5, 2-2 with Minnesota, San Antonio, same thing with VGK and Anaheim. And it's always dangerous to take unders, as you saw last night when Hurdle got that goal at the minute to go for the Golden Knights when they pulled the goaltender. But if you watch that game, that was more of a defensive game. I think 4 of the 7 goals were scored either on the power play with the man advantage or with the empty net when VGK was down too late. So VGK's got the top penalty kill in the playoffs. They leaked a little bit last night. They gave up 2 to Anaheim. But I think game number 5, now that this is at 6.5, you know, because these totals, that's what you do when these adjust. Have they adjusted too much? And I think it has. 6.5 minus $1.20 under. I think that this is going to be, this strikes me as like a 1-1 game or a 2-2 that goes into overtime. So 2 game 5 series tied at 2-2 unders for me.
He's Wes Reynolds. Check him out on X at WesReynolds1, over at VSiN.com with the weekly golf article, and on Long Shots, the golf podcast hosted by him, Kelly Bidlin here, and Matt Brown, available wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, Wes.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit JustWinBetsBaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name really says it all.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into a numbers game. VSiN, the sports betting network. Thanks for making us a part of your day, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Want to remind you, you can always download our shows wherever you get your podcasts. Our number one awesome conversation with the Hall of Famer John Smoltz, and yep, he is very like-minded with a lot of us around here. The Pittsburgh Pirates could be an intriguing team. However, he called out a reason why he's hesitant to fully believe in the playoff run, but that can be rectified. It can be changed. Go check out that interview wherever you get your podcast. And always excited for our next guest. He is Greg Hoops Peterson. We talk about people's faces that just bring joy around here. Kelly's one of those people for me. Greg Hoops Peterson, one of those people for me. You can check out the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check him out over at VSiN.com with the daily write-ups, breaking down Major League Baseball every single day. And Gregory joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. And apparently this is the bit, Greg's Fab Five.
That's right. I love this. That's right. We try, well, you know, Greg's always firing away. We try to trim it down a bit for the audience.
Hey, look, I, as someone who needs to trim a lot of things in their life, fortunately, I'm long in all the wrong areas and short in all the wrong areas as well.
Yeah, anyways, hey, Greg. How you doing?
Hi, Greg.
I was wondering
when
we were going to get the first one of those today.
All right, Greg, let's talk a little Major League Baseball. I'm very like-minded with you in a few of these plays. Let's begin with the Yankees. You're actually going to lay the run line with them, taking on Brandon Young and the Orioles. New York's throwing Ryan Weathers on the road, minus 156. Baltimore's plus $1.29 at home. Total in the game is 9. I'm on the Yankees team total, but you're going to go -1.5. Tell me why.
Absolutely. They're actually riding the longest losing streak in all of baseball, 3 games, which obviously very misleading. But I think that they bounce back here after they lose that series against the Brewers. And the Baltimore Orioles, they just had a tough time hitting left-handed pitching, for one. And for two, we just have seen Pete Alonso not be himself this far this season. Gunnar Henderson has given you power, but he has not moved the line whatsoever. And I'm just not a believer in Brandon Young. Right now, he's posting up about a 4.35 ERA. He's not getting a lot of strikeouts. You've got a Yankees bunch that has been able to get Ben Rice back over the last few days as well. Aaron Judge has continued to be Aaron Judge. And very silently, the New York Yankees, second in the league in terms of opening ERA. Ryan Weathers was skipped in his last start due to illness on Thursday. Now he makes a start here on Monday. So the Yankees locked and loaded with regards to rotation going into the series. I like what I've seen out of Weathers as well. Career high over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Think that he does a good job shutting down an Orioles team that I just have not really been buying into all season long. The hitting has been very hit or miss with regards to the young guys. So I like the Yankees here on the run line, and that total of 9, looking at the under as well.
Like it, Greg. I know you were involved in a game that Dustin is as well. Diamondbacks and Rangers playing the total in this one.
Yep, I did take the under of 8. Now, unfortunately, as I'm doing this, the total has gone down to 7.5 pretty much across the board. And 7.5, it becomes a little bit of a roll of the dice. I would be looking at instead, because if we don't get an 8 back up on the board, it just becomes unplayable for me. We were looking at this overnight with the Blue Jays versus the Rays. That total was 7.5. That's now down to 7. So to replace this right now, which has just moved outside of where I'd be willing to play it, I'd be looking there instead, because I do think that Drew Rasmussen, who's giving up a home run and a half per 9 innings for the Rays, is going to have a little bit of a tough time here. We've had the Rays and the Blue Jays be pretty pedestrian with their bullpen. And then for the Toronto Blue Jays, additionally, you've got a team that I think is going to be able to ignite a little bit more with their offense. It's been rough this year for them, but they've actually been number one in terms of strikeouts on a per at-bat basis. The Rays have been a really good offense as well. So unfortunately, Diamondbacks versus Rangers, since I wrote this up, it's moved a little bit out of range, but that's now moved in range. So we do have a little bit of a replacement there for you. But if you do get back to an 8 in terms of Diamondbacks versus Rangers, I'll be backing on that under.
Greg Hoops Peterson is our guest at GUnit_81 on X. Write-ups every day breaking down Major League Baseball at VSiN.com and the host of the Baseball Betting Show, available wherever you get your podcast. We're going to talk a little Lambert here, and I feel like, Greg, you're a little bit younger than us. Step by step, whenever I hear the name Lambert, I think of that family from the TV show, because Frank Lambert, he married Suzanne Summers. His daughter, Al, and this is going to sound creepy because she was a child in it, but I was a child watching it. That was a childhood crush for me on TV, the Lamberts and Step by Step. Instead, we're going to talk Pete Lambert, not JT Lambert, not any of the Lambert family from Step by Step. We've got Pete Lambert on the hill, taking on George Kirby and the Mariners. Houston's a plus 119 home dog, minus 143 with Seattle and Kirby. Total in the game is 9. You're going to back the dog here, Greg. Talk to me about it.
And very ironic enough that I have a friend whose dog is named Lambert. So, you know, we are backing the underdog named Lambert here. And he's been really good since coming back from Japan. And boy, have the Astros needed it, because the pitching has been awful this year for them. They are number one in terms of ERA by more than a full half run to the negative. Like, they're posting up a team ERA north of a 5.5, so that's been an issue. But for Lambert, about 9.3, 9.4 strikeouts per 9 innings in his 4 appearances, is yet to allow a home run in over 22 innings. And for George Kirby, you just take a look at his career numbers. For his career, about a 3.05 home ERA. For his career, about a 4.05 ERA on the road. has always struggled a little bit more away from home. And for Seattle, this has just not been the same offense that we've seen in the past. With Kyle Raleigh, he's just not moving the line. He's giving you less than a .275 on base. 7 home runs isn't bad, but it's nowhere near where he was a season ago. You've had the likes of a J.P. Crawford, even though he's getting on base. He's really not giving any sort of average whatsoever as well. Josh Naylor is not necessarily been what they paid for as well. So I do think that for the Astros, this is a good spot for them. I also do like that 8.5 to the under, because even though the Astros have been a team that has been destroying the ball this year, keep in mind they put Carlos Correa on the injury list. I think that that's going to be hampering that offense a little bit. And I do think that the Astros see a little bit of positivity with that pitching. So like the 8.5 under, and the Astros at +120 or better on the money line.
All right, I like it, Greg. Under in that game, and then one more under that you were looking at on tonight's short slate of games. Heading out west for the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah, absolutely, and I do like the Giants here at a plus number on the money line as well. Roki Sasaki just has not been good this year. Like a 4 or 5.9 ERA, fielding independent, that's more around a 6.35. He's given up 2.5 home runs, over 4 walks per 9 innings. I recognize that the Dodgers did lose 2 of 3 against the Atlanta Braves, but I mean, there was a reason why they threw Justin Robelski for 8 2/3 innings, even though he gave up 7 runs in that game, because they know that they need all hands on deck for Roki Sasaki. You have to question when they try to push him from the rotation, perhaps back into the bullpen, because he was great out of the bullpen last year during the postseason for the Dodgers. He has not put it together as a starter. And then you got Trevor Old McDonald for the San Francisco Giants. Only 5 career appearances. He's been good in those appearances, though. He's given up a combined 2 home runs, 3 walks. Obviously, this is going to be the biggest of his career appearances at the big league level, but he's been able to put it all together, have a Giants team that entered in the weekend in the top 10 in terms of bullpen ERA as well. The likes of Matt Gage, Caleb Killian, they've done a great job coming in, being able to give you some great innings for a Giants team that they've needed it. The offense has been dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation, so they're going to need to be able to get some good pitching, and that's a big reason why I was seeing that total of 9.5 to the under, even at a 9, because this has moved from a 9.5 to a 9. I still like it to the under, and with the Giants being able to get that big of a plus price, also like that money line.
Greg's plays, Yankees run line against the O's, Diamondbacks Rangers under 8, Astros plus $1.25 against Seattle, also the under 8.5 in that game, and the Giants Dodgers under 9 and a hook. He also likes San Fran in that game as well. He's Greg Hoops Peterson. Read him every day at VSiN.com and check out the podcast, The Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson at GUnit_81. Thanks as always for the time, my friend. We'll chat soon.
Always appreciated, my guys. Thank you so much.
Some breaking news via Adam Schefter as the NFL calendar starts its mini takeover here in the spring. This is news we were waiting for out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as the Steelers offense gets a bit of security with some potential scoring. No, it's not Aaron Rodgers. They have signed kicker Chris Boswell to a 4-year extension, $28 million. $7 million average per year, ties with Brandon Aubrey for the highest paid kicker in the NFL. Boswell's locked in with the Steelers through 2030. The Mike McCarthy era still remains with a quarterback depth chart that includes Will Howard, and it includes Drew Aller. Which, look, I was high on the promise of Will Howard with some of the intangibles out there. I actually think there's a world where Aaron Rodgers is not a Steeler, with Denver open and some other teams having possibilities. I'm not sure he's the lock to return to Pittsburgh like people are assuming he is.
Wow. I guess, yeah, I am assuming. But, man, if I was a Steelers fan or in that organization, I would not be letting him take this long. Like, this is – it's incredible. I the fact that they didn't have this kind of figured out or a deadline on this heading into the offseason is just a little wild. This should be coming down, like, today, right? Wasn't he supposed to be visiting there at the end of last week and wasn't going to leave the weekend? Chris Boswell, though, it's a little, like, if I'm Brandon Aubrey, like, I'd go renegotiate
I'd
right
be
now.
Offended.
Right, I'm renegotiating I'm right away.
You think I'm worth what Chris Boswell is worth?
What?
Are you kidding me? That is offensive. Chris Boswell's a fine kicker. Don't get it wrong.
He's great. He's great. Now, the other side, hats off to his agency, and well done there.
Well
wow.
done. Can the Minnesota Wild do something really no one thought they could do, which is potentially knock off Colorado? They trail 2-1. They play tonight at home. We'll break that down with Jody Shelley from TNT on the other side of a numbers game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you here in, I guess it's the morning here on the West Coast. It's the morning on the East Coast. He's Kelly Bidlin. And as someone who's been a producer, you're co-host of this show, but you've been a producer in the past, time zones are certainly something like you don't anticipate when you're younger impacting your life until you start booking a national sports radio TV show. That's why in that moment I went, oh, it's 9:30 West Coast, but it's 12:30 on the East Coast. So it's lunch versus breakfast time for people. And it throws you off for a moment. Yeah. You realize you're just in a different wavelength than everyone else.
So enjoy your lunch and or breakfast, coffee and or energy drink.
Now, at this point of the hockey postseason, if you're calling these games, you're essentially like a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, you're still alive, but more importantly, you're in a different city every day.
You're still alive.
Yeah. But you look at the sheet in front of you with the set list. You're like, okay, it's Anaheim today. It's VGK today. It's this place today. And I think our next guest gets that, as he's called plenty of hockey playoff action. I believe he was there for game 3 with Anaheim and VGK the other night. He is Jody Shelley, NHL on TNT analyst, former NHL hockey player, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Give Jody a follow on X at ShelleyHawk45. Did I get that right, Jody, that you're just living in a world at times when you call these playoff games, you don't even know what city you're in when you wake up, you just know there's a game to do?
You know what? It's interesting. I've had a busy year, which has been great, and you find a way to prep just for that game that day. So, yes, you're 100% right. You kind of get... So I get in a mode where, especially in the regular season, where there were times when I did 4 different games in 4 different nights, some for the Blue Jackets, so I cover, some for Amazon in Canada, and then some for TNT, where, you know, halfway through the day, you start thinking about the next game that's coming. But in playoffs, you know what? It's spread out. You get the opportunity. Now I'm back to the series, the game 6 for the Ducks and the Knights on Thursday. But to answer your question directly, yes, there are moments where you're like, where am I? And I tell people, as broadcasters, we're everywhere, but we're nowhere. Like, I was just in Anaheim, but I was at the airport, the hotel, right, the rink, the airport, and then out of there. So it's a fun existence. It's great to get in and get immersed in it, but all of a sudden, you're not there anymore.
Yeah, Jody, it's funny. People go, oh, you know, you get to travel, you get to see the country. You're like, no, yeah. I see Marriott and I see the airport. That's about where it ends. So you're going to be on the call for the next one with Anaheim and Vegas. Really two fun, intriguing teams. One, you got the Golden Knights making the change late in the season, bringing in John Tortorella. Yeah. They've been tinkering with a lot of these lines throughout since he's joined. And then Anaheim, you've got a 3-time cup winner on the bench, but you got a young squad that really has not been intimidated. And we saw that last night with a 4-3 win on their home ice. What have you made of where this series has gone so far, as it's now 2-2? We're all tied up heading to game 5.
Oh, there's so many great factors within both of these teams. And you look at both goaltenders for the Ducks and the Golden Knights. You know, there's been moments in the series and throughout the first 2 rounds where there's, you know, you've seen maybe a little bit of fatigue, maybe a little bit too much pressure. You know, Anaheim's not as young as you would think. They picked up some really, really good veterans there. Carlson, Kreider, you've got Killorn. The guys, Trouba, these are grizzled veterans. And then they have a young core that is so young, so fast, and really boosted everything that they've wanted to do, plus good goaltending. They're going against a team in Vegas. To me, Vegas is such a veteran team. These are guys that have been there, done it, and are expected to do it again. And that, to me, there's moments in games within series for the Golden Knights that their veteran presence, maybe they think, oh, it's a young team. They did it in Utah where, you know, Utah wouldn't go away. And when Vegas dialed it up, you could see, oh, this is another level to this team. So they've got to be careful not doing that too much. There's opportunities now. Things get tight in this round. And I love the way Anaheim's playing. It's completely different than the Vegas Golden Knights, who made an adjustment in game 3 to have the puck more. And when Anaheim has the puck and a little bit of space, they fly. And that's what makes this series so fun.
Jody, the other series out west getting a little more interesting over the weekend with the Avalanche finally dropping a game. Game 4 here tonight. Avalanche will be a road favorite. You think better chance that we head back to Denver with this series 3-1 or all tied up at 2 apiece?
Boy, what a great question. And you know, it's amazing because you look at any series – right now. When a team loses, look at Buffalo. Okay, it's uncertain. They're goaltending. You know, the game got away from them. Are they fast enough? You know, did they have enough adversity at times? And you look at Colorado, I thought they were unbeatable. I mean, this is a team that in the first round, they didn't, I don't feel like they had to get to their A game. And I don't mean any disrespect to their first round opponent, but I'm just saying this is a team that understands there is another level of intensity, of focus, of details that they can get to. And I think now we're going to see the true avalanche after that win, big win Minnesota had. So I think it's going to go 2-2, but I think that goes back to a team that wins. You feel pretty good about them after they win in the series, and they feel good about themselves. But there's an urgency level that's coming their way now that from Colorado that I don't think we've seen yet in this playoffs. But I think Minnesota, they've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. If they can get Erickson Ek back, who was close last game to coming back, that's a huge input to the lineup as well. So I think 2-2. But what am I, you know, how can you bet against the Avalanche? But we're going to really see them now with a big loss in that column.
Jody Shelley is our guest, NHL on TNT, 14 years in the league in the NHL. Let's go to the East. Canadians up 2-1, the entire nation of Canada. That is the hope of bringing the cup back. And yeah. Buffalo's been hot since January, Jody. But Montreal, they take advantage of the home ice, 6-2 win last night. We're now going to go back to Buffalo, series 2-1 here with Montreal leading this thing. What do you make of the way these two teams match up with each other with Carolina with plenty of rest waiting in the wings?
You know, I was thinking about that and watching Rod Brindamore's comments, like you really feel it for Carolina. They're the way he said, it'd be great for the guys to win a cup because it changes their life. And I'm thinking like, wow, you got that perspective in the locker room now. It's not just about going undefeated. It's about being prepared to win a Stanley Cup and go into the finals. They're going to be a well-oiled machine. We know that. And that is another team that I don't think has had to get to that ultimate game that they can play. They play the same game every night, but I think there is a challenge they haven't faced yet, and I think they're ready for it. Buffalo and Montreal, to me, they're so similar. They're fast. They compete hard. When they're playing well, they build momentum. It's a back-and-forth series. I don't know who matches up better. I think it has to come down to the goaltending. And right now you'd have to give it to Dobish for the Montreal Canadiens because, you know, Lion last night, what's going to happen there? Does UPL come in? Those are all the questions you ask in the day between games. So, for me, I think it's Montreal as a team that matches up a little better. I think that this team I've been at the Bell Center, but not in the playoffs. And the Bell Center on a Tuesday night in January is a magical place. I can't imagine what the feeling is going on there right now. And these players are absolute rock stars, but they are so locked in. Marty St. Louis and Trevor Letowski, the coaching staff's done a great job there. I love this series. This series goes 7. And I think it's that dynamic. And I think but I think Montreal for some reason matches up a little better.
Correction by me. We are staying in Montreal for another one. Jody Shelley is our guest, NHL on TNT. Yeah. So with Carolina waiting so long as a former player, is there a rust? Is there an advantage to that at this point in the year with so much miles on the legs for these guys? Or do you think that they can just show up and figure it out whenever they find out who their opponent is?
I think it depends on the situation, the team environment, and the team game. I think if you're a young team and you go, you have a 9-day break and you're in town and, you know, you get to get away from the rink and your neighbors and your friends and everyone's telling you how great you are and the excitement's there. You know what I mean? There's a little bit, you can feel a little bit too sweet about yourself. But if you're a team like Carolina, that, as I mentioned earlier, they're a well-oiled machine. They know every part and piece and how they fit in and how they have to be. Every piece of the puzzle has to be exactly what they are for them to work. I think it's a huge advantage to have at least a 9-day break for them. They just went through it, as Rod Brendamore said in his press conference the other day, so they understand what they're up against here. It's a work-first team, and I think the understanding of that, even not being in the organization, those players understand that so well that I think that this is a huge advantage for them exactly for how they play as well, because it's a relentless style that takes a lot out of every individual. So this is a perfect storm. Oh, that's perfect storm for the Carolina Hurricanes. There you go.
Jody, thank you so much for doing this today. Awesome insight as always. We'll be watching on TNT. Would love to chat again as we get closer to the Stanley Cup Final.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on. Awesome. Have a great day.
That's Jody Shelley, NHL on TNT, former NHL player at ShelleyHawk45. You can find him over on X. We do have some interesting news we have to hit in the next segment, as there's a certain superstar, and he's back in the headlines for the same reason. And it kind of goes with the fact that we live in a world where there's nothing but overexposure. Otani, do we get fatigue for him to be the MVP in baseball? Sydney Sweeney is nude Sunday nights on HBO every single week. And this player wanting out of his current home, that's always a consistent theme. We'll tell you who it is next on A Numbers Game.